Welcome to Highest Aspirations, an education podcast that explores the world of English language learners and how we can make a greater impact. Each episode, we bring you voices from across the ELL community to discuss the issues that matter most. Highest Aspirations is brought to you by Elevation Education, your partner for ELL program management and instruction.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Highest Aspirations. I'm your host, Steve Sofronis. I'm excited to present this bonus episode of the podcast to answer a really important question that we've been hearing quite a bit lately, and that is, what the heck is a hackathon? I'm speaking with Eric Wong, Elevation's Vice President of Engineering and hackathon founder, to get at the bottom of that question. We at Elevation do a hackathon every year, and this year we celebrated our fifth annual. And in a nutshell, it's a time when teams can come together and work on new projects and new processes that they may not have time to work on during their regular day-to-day. An interesting fact about this hackathon is the transcript that will appear with this podcast is actually a result of this year's work from one of the teams. So you'll find out more about that in the episode. But I'm going to leave most of the heavy lifting to Eric, who's going to give us a good breakdown of what it is that we do here at Elevation's Hackathon. So without any further ado, here is my conversation with Elevation's Eric Wong.
Welcome, Eric. Could you start by telling us a little bit about the work you do here at Elevation?
Sure. Yeah. My name's Eric Wong. I'm the Vice President of Engineering here at Elevation.
Awesome. And so you started the hackathon pretty soon after you started here. Can you give us a quick explanation of what it is? Like, what is a hackathon? I have had this impression before, there's this like caffeine fueled pizza eating, beer drinking, stay up all night thing, but that hasn't been my experience here.
Yeah, so hackathons definitely come in all different shapes and sizes. The one we traditionally do here is simply it's a day and a half for anyone in the organization to really work on a close on a project that's really interesting to them. So we always have talked about kind of these kind of FedEx days, or obviously, you know, a lot of people have heard about kind of the Google 20% time. So really early on here, I was just really interested to see if we could do something very similar on a smaller scale here. So at Elevation, our hackathons are typically a business day and a half. People sign up to work on a team about a particular hack, an idea, typically a cross-functional team involving different members from across the organization. And then on Friday afternoon, we present them out kind of lightning style to the rest of the company. We definitely don't do the kind of 24 hours Red Bull kind of thing. It's definitely an option. I think when I was considering it, I think it's back in 2012, I was like, I probably can't do that. I wasn't up for kind of an all-nighter, so we tried to contain it to about a day and a half. So
yeah, it definitely allowed me to be involved too. I don't think I'd be involved in those crazy ones. So when you organized the first one 5 years ago, this was the fifth annual. What did you hope to accomplish at that time?
That's a great question. So I was really just hoping to kind of set kind of the muscle memory for the organization around just an opportunity to kind of be creative and, you know, try to put down your day-to-day job for at least a day and a half and focus on something that you think would really move the needle, that was, you know, obviously relevant to our customers or our product or our company. And there's this misconception that, you know, you have to be a coder or an engineer to be participating in a hackathon. And for me, it's really more just giving people an opportunity to be creative. And you know, just because you can't code doesn't mean you can't do customer research or come up with mock-ups or bring to life a process improvement that you've been maybe just dying to do. I think all of us have had those moments where like, oh, if I just had a day to kind of work on this one thing, life would be so much better, or our product would be so much better, or our company or our process would be better. This is really meant to sort of tease that out and try to encourage people in a supportive environment. It's a lot of fun. We're trying to take it too seriously for them to really kind of just try it out and kind of build that confidence and just have a good time and working with others, and then taking that and then learning from that and hopefully then trying to apply it in other parts of your day-to-day work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you mentioned that, you know, if you only had the time to do something as an individual, but I think another cool part of this is that you're working with a group of people who maybe traditionally on a day-to-day basis you aren't working with. That was pretty powerful for me.
Yeah, that's definitely it too. I think so. When we originally started, the company was much smaller, so a lot more individual projects. But as we've grown, and based on feedback from participants year over year, we've really made it a little more conscious effort to try to make those connections. As I mentioned, a great opportunity for engineers to get to work with people from maybe marketing that they haven't worked with on a normal day-to-day basis. A great way to build those connections. We're still a pretty small organization. I like to think we can still support, you know, getting to know people and their jobs and hearing their perspectives, because those ultimately will make us better. And it makes the way we build the software better. So I can only imagine that that's the same case for anyone else who's participating.
Yeah, great. And so you kind of got to this a little bit, but you mentioned it was a pretty small company when you started. How many people approximately were there 5 years
ago? Yeah, I'm trying to pull the data. So I think we had, I think it was close to 12 people participating in the hackathon. So I think we probably had about 16, definitely under 20 people in the company. I think we had about 7 hacks or projects. Again, at that time, it was mostly people either pairing up or working individually. But then over time, it's grown. So I think, yeah, we were less than 20 people. Back in 2012.
And now that we're over 120 at this point, how have you seen it evolve? Like, what are some of the, maybe the top 1, 2, 3 positive things that have happened with more numbers, more people together?
I think the range of projects has been really interesting to see. So, back in when we first started, just by sort of sheer numbers, the most were either fairly technical or we didn't get sort of the breadth or variety. And even in the last 2 years, just seeing some of the hacks around kind of office improvements, community work and outreach, corporate social responsibility, changes the way that we sell the software, just sort of seeing a lot more kind of variety from different parts of the organization, and not just it being sort of, okay, here's some bits of code or some things. It's been really exciting to see that sort of grow at scale.
Yeah, definitely. And there are a wide variety of options of things to work with, which I think is great because it gives people the opportunity to either work in their wheelhouse and feel comfortable or kind of take a risk and do something totally different, maybe even learn some new skills.
Definitely, yeah.
Nice as well. So Elevation prides itself on celebrating diversity, I think both in our people, in our company, and in our ideas. How do you think the hackathon supports this celebration of diversity that we?
Yeah, I think back to kind of the point you just made, I think that really with the teams and sort of cross-functional teams, people are becoming more and more comfortable in working with others and with different expertise. And I think that the big important thing for me and culturally try to really embed this in the team is that thought diversity. So I know that as a software engineer, having perspectives from the account management side or our product support team or our business development team, having them share their experience, as I would love to hear customer feedback as well, just gives us more data, just gives me more data points to better inform the things that I work on, how I prioritize, helps me make better decisions. And I think hackathon, I like to think is sort of a good, sort of a little bit compressed, but kind of a good kind of practice session for that, for people to be really open to getting feedback. There's no sort of appointed leader in the team. The teams are fairly self-mobilizing and self-organizing. We come in with some high-level idea, but there's no sort of specific, direct, defined outcome of what the hack is and what format it's going to be presented and kind of the bounds in which it's going to be built. So a lot of the kind of collaboration has to happen pretty quickly in that day and a half. I think it's a great opportunity to practice that kind of thought diversity and being open to other ideas and hearing from other people that are come from different backgrounds.
Yeah, and it happens pretty naturally and I think a pretty low stress environment. And again, that goes back to that point of the hackathon being this like crazy, like stressed out 12-hour right. thing, but it's really hasn't been like that in my experience. I think that's a great part of it as well. So a big part of this obviously internally for us as a company is to get people together to think about different ideas, to give people space. You mentioned the Google 20% kind of rule of experimenting. But some of these things have actually become reality. Some of these things have become products. Can you give us an example of a hack that became something that we still use today?
Sure. Actually, one of the first ones I think may have been from 2012 was we have kind of this header on our student profile page. And before you had to sort of navigate through the individual tabs to kind of get really, there was a lot of requests for our customer challenges around having essentially kind of name, school ID number, and performance levels on their latest ELP assessment. And previous to the hackathon, and the product was obviously in a much different space back then, but sort of click around, sort of get these four or five bits of key information. And so one of the hacks was fairly, actually we implemented it pretty quickly with this kind of, we call it kind of the student tab header or whatever, it's sort of like that kind of that base profile that just kind of is really now sort of, and has been there and will continue to be there on our student profile page for years. Another one from last year was the, we have this inline help idea we've been playing with and trying to figure out the best way to present help context within the application, try to ease the user experience so they didn't have to sort of go too far. It was more contextual, easy way to also kind of ask for help through a help desk ticket. And so just a prototype around that, I think, really helped to kind of make it feasible. A lot of the learnings that come from hackathon is also, you know, this is pretty kind of the feasibility of the work. It's actually that discovery, like, oh, actually, this is probably gonna be trickier, or in some cases, actually may not be that complex, and we can kind of queue it up or get a lot of kind of data from it.
Yeah, some proof of concept that actually something might actually work. I saw a few this year, and I have a little bias from the community perspective and thinking about podcasts and getting people involved in the in the community. But there were a couple this year that I definitely see becoming a reality, one of which I had a meeting with a few people the other day about transcribing the podcast, so directly related to what we're doing now. You know, they were able to your point earlier, to take some time to work on something that is actually kind of something that I've worked on, but I haven't had the space to really think about how we're going to budget for, is there a place that we can actually do the transcription? They're actually able to find a transcription service fairly cheaply and fairly accurately that I think we're going to actually implement.
That's
great. So definitely appreciative to that group and that particular hack. So one of the things we like to do when we talk to people is use our own experiences to help others. So if I am an organization, maybe even I'm a school or another company, and I'm interested in doing this kind of thing, you've been there and done that from the very beginning. What are the first steps that you would recommend an individual or a group taking?
Great question. I think a couple things that have been really crucial to success here. One is definitely buy-in from the leadership organization. So our hackathons are voluntary. No one is required, but obviously a lot of people are excited to participate. But it does mean putting things on hold for a day and a half. And so that can be difficult at times of the year for different organizations. So I think getting the buy-in and support from the top down is really beneficial. Another one I think is really being very clear that this is, and you know, the name hack implies this, hopefully, is that we're not looking for finished shippable, you know, first class stuff here. This is really proof of concept. Things are very rough. We even kind of call it out when people are about to present or in their preparations that this is going to be, you know, it's a lot of them are live demos. They're very rough looking. This is not the polished final good. And I think so, setting the bar in a way kind of good and low for people to shoot for is important. And three, I think just making it a lot of fun and saying, you know, we have some kind of swag that we provide for it. There's some food and kind of a lighthearted atmosphere. There definitely are some other hackathons at other organizations, which was more kind of caffeine driven. You're trying to really come together then. But I think, just making kind of it, not taking it too seriously in a way, kind of relieving the stress a little bit. And you know, everyone is rewarded and applauded. We're not, you know, hopefully making a space where people feel comfortable to experiment and try new things. And sometimes we, you know, learn from mistakes or learn from things that may not turn out the way we usually plan, but that's really the value there. So I think those are some examples of things we've done to really encourage participation, I think, that have made it a success so far.
Yeah, and I think one thing that I think you sort of are alluding to is, correct me if I'm wrong, but connecting it to our particular values, which I think, you know, reflect that, let's try something new, let's get together. Other organizations or groups or companies may have sort of different cultures. And I think, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but probably connecting the hackathon to your particular values, your particular style of work is important as well.
Definitely, yeah. So, you know, continuous improvement is a huge, one of our main company values. I think this is a great example of you know, just trying that. Nothing is perfect. A lot of companies or a lot of individuals may have this, some places they call them like fixed FedEx days. So basically you have like a day and then FedEx delivers by 10:30. So you have like until a day and 10:30 to kind of figure out, oh, I just had this one day to fix it. Others call them sort of fix it days where they're doing it sometimes, maybe it's just a day or kind of quarterly. So a lot of different organizations do them differently, but I think it's really important to, yeah, definitely tie it back to company values. You know, even if that finished hack isn't going to make it into production the next day, hey, can we learn from it? Can we actually queue this up for the backlog? can we actually, you know, bring this to a leadership group or a manager and say, hey, can we run with this? I think is really beneficial.
Great. So the teacher in me has to ask you this question. So like I taught for a long time, 17 years. I taught foreign language. I was not an ELL teacher, but I do work with a lot of ELL teachers, and I see things like project-based learning. We did a podcast on that. People doing amazing things with English language learners. I guess we could start with just in school in general, but do you see this kind of project or this kind of strategy working in an educational setting, in a K-12 setting?
Definitely. I'm definitely not an educator either, but I think kind of the principle in which bringing together people in a safe environment to think creatively about how to solve a problem, I think would definitely apply to, you know, a K-12 educational environment. You know, it could be, in some cases, depending on age group, I'm guessing you may have to be a little more directive, and I know there's, you know, kind of group building activities that we've tried in the past, where, you know, kind of, I remember as a student, I always loved sort of the egg drop type projects where like, here's a challenge, here's some tools, but then it's up to you to kind of figure it out and work with a group and see who is, who wants to be a leader and who is good at certain things and how others can contribute. And so I think anything where you're able to give individuals a safe space to try and experiment and get them excited about solving a particular challenge would just be really great.
Great. Well, this has been awesome. Thanks so much for sharing all your knowledge about the hackathon. I mean, I have a 2-year veteran now. Ever since I've been at the company, I've really enjoyed working with different groups. So appreciate all you're doing. Thanks for taking the time.
Oh, pleasure, Steve. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Highest Aspirations. If you liked our show, please be sure to join the ELL community at elevationeducation.com/ELL community, where you'll find all the episodes of Highest Aspirations and other resources to help educators maximize the impact on their English language learners. Also, let us know how we're doing by writing a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts.